This is the Leadership Momentum Podcast with Chris Brown.
Well, hello, church leaders. This is Chris Brown, and well, welcome you to the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Happy New Year to you. I know you're looking at this whole next year, and you're just looking through a ton of different ideas and different dreams and strategies and maybe a little bit of weight. But 2016 has a lot of lives and eternities at stake, and I know that weighs on you, but we're hoping that this podcast is a breath of fresh air, giving you ideas and giving you encouragement, and you know, this is supposed to be something that you can kind of tap into, and we can share ideas and learn together. So today, we're excited to have Pastor Chris Hodges from Church of the Highlands with us today. Of course, many of you know who Chris Hodges is, but just in case you don't, he is the founding and senior pastor of the Church of the Highlands. He's got campuses all across the state of Alabama. They've grown to about over 30,000 people attending on each and every weekend. He co-founded the ARC, the Association of Related Churches, in 2001, which has now launched hundreds of churches all across America with a very high success rate. We actually talk about that in the conversation. He also has founded a coaching network called GROW, which trains and resources pastors, and he also is the founder and president of the Highlands College, a ministry training school that trains and launches students into full-time ministry careers. This guy is a definite kingdom man and also is very selfless with his time and with his wisdom. And as we start the new year, be sure to listen for how Church of the Highlands has a large emphasis on stewardship, but particularly financial stewardship in the month of January. And that's why we bring this podcast to you in this month, because it is a great month to be leveraged. And I've got to mention, if you're looking for a way to start a financial discipleship emphasis in your church, we have a team of advisors here at Ramsey Solutions that can get you started on the right foot with stewardship solutions like Financial Peace University. If you want more information, please email me at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com so I can get in touch with your incredible team. Well, Chris Hodges is brilliant, and I want you to benefit from his brilliance. So I got him on the line, and we had a great conversation about leadership, leadership development, stewardship, having margin within the church, how to budget, lots of great, great conversation, and I want you to hear it. So sit back and enjoy. Pastor Chris.
Yes, sir.
How you doing?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us on the Leadership Momentum Podcast. Appreciate you hanging out with us.
Yeah, I'm really excited about this.
Very cool. Well, obviously, we know that you know, Church of the Highlands has experienced a lot of growth and a lot of success, and you know, obviously, God's hands on that. I want to, you know, that's obvious. It's obvious from afar. I know it's obvious for those who are attending there at Highlands. What are some key factors that you think contribute to the success? Because obviously, you have the same tensions, the same pressures that every other pastor has, but you've experienced a lot of success, and I know that's a tough question to get without bragging on yourself, but God's obviously blessed your leadership and blessed your team. So tell me what's happening behind the scenes.
Well, I do want to give God all the glory because I know who I am, and this is a miracle. So, but you know, I think we do a few things well. I'm kind of among my friends, kind of known as the systems guy, and that, as boring as that sounds, what systems really are, it's basically it's your organization's approach to accomplishing your vision. So everybody has a vision, but there's often a disconnect between what people do and their vision. So they say, I want to reach. For instance, I want to reach my city. I want to reach lost people. But a lot of times, churches are notorious for creating experiences that lost people don't connect with. Church people do, but lost people don't. So, and that's just one example that there's often a disconnect between the system, which is what we create to accomplish vision, and our vision. And I think one of the things that we do really well is that we've created great systems, both for the delivery of our vision, and we have great systems as it relates to money and government and structure. And so I think that's a big one. And then at the end of the day, I think one of the things we do extremely well is just we have a real life-giving culture. It's when people come in, the expression that we hear the most often is, you know, the whole experience is like a breath of fresh air. So I think you can't underestimate culture. I always say culture trumps everything. So you would maybe get more things accomplished doing the wrong thing in a great culture than doing the right thing in a bad culture.
Yeah. How much do you think that the systems that you have give you enough emotional bandwidth to be so life-giving? Do you think they have a big part in that? You're not running around with your head cut off?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. For instance, in our one of our financial systems is that we've written into our bylaws that the budget of any year would be based off of 90% of the previous year's income. So we go into every year with 10% margin, and if you have any growth at all, that just builds that margin. Well, man, there's just, you can sense the freedom, the you know, there's no pressure. I always say, you know, to pastors that if you're under pressure, you'll inadvertently pressure people, and then that's when they start looking for somewhere else to go to church, you know. So, so yeah, those are huge. The systems can bring life just as much as anything else, and people really don't think of systems that way.
Yeah, you were speaking about the gap between people having vision and the actual, you know, the day-to-day, that gap that people aren't doing, and that is exactly one of those. Okay, you've got this vision, and you've put together a system where 90%, you're going to budget 90% of the previous year's income. That's one of those things that bridges the gap that makes the bottom line operational day-to-day ministry better. You've taken the vision and put handles on it and made a decision. I love that. And I've heard through hearsay that you guys do that there, and it was so good to hear straight from you exactly what you do. That's a huge takeaway already, that folks, we need to be budgeting. And I know you don't take everything from podcasts and say plug and play, we do that at our place, but that is a practical principle that would work in any church. That you're
we actually wrote it into the bylaws of our church.
Oh, it's
so
huge.
It's in stone, and what that's done, you know, for instance, in 2015 our growth that year financially was over 23%. So that means 33% margin.
Wow.
Which allows you to say yes to a lot of things.
Yeah.
You know? So, and it creates a great culture.
Yeah, I think if we were all to be honest with ourselves, the folks who are listening and me throughout my ministry career, a lot of my, maybe all, but a lot of my major bad decisions have been because of a lack of margin. And so that really speaks to that. I love that. Now, you brought up finances. You know, January, we're here in January, and it's a great month for people to, you know, for churches to focus in on stewardship from a financial discipleship perspective. Have you found that to be a true at Highlands, the month of January, to focus in on financial discipleship?
Well, people really, you know, see the new year as an opportunity to get some fresh starts. So I've encouraged pastors and leaders to structure your message series and your discipleship around anything where people can improve their life, because they see it as a fresh start. That's what the new year does. So the very first conference that we do every year is in January, and it's usually with somebody from the team of Dave Ramsey's ministry, where we have a one day, hey, let's get on some kind of financial plan seminar, let's find some freedom, and it's been very well attended. And then we start groups. We do our small groups in semesters, and so our semesters start at the end of January, so we have a lot of people that can get into a 13-week small group curriculum just for that purpose. My dad led for years the Financial Peace University, kept on his desk a fishbowl full of cut-up credit cards from all the small group participants. And so this is just a great time. If people are going to do it, if they're going to say, okay, it's time for a change, they're most likely to do it in this season, in this January, February season.
Yeah, I've noticed that there are a few churches around the country who are just ahead of the curve when it comes to this, leading their folks from being broke to having margin in their own lives. And of course, you're modeling that as a church. The results that you've received from this, you know, because obviously Church of the Highlands is financially positioned well. The results of transferring your primary focus from donor development and just focusing in on maybe the top givers, which a lot of churches do, and from a very healthy place. I'm not saying from a manipulative pace, just really ministering to them and making sure they feel they've got opportunities to engage in the ministry, versus ministering to and positioning the entire body better financially. Which one yields better results?
Well, that's a great point, because I've often said that pastors are asking people to do something as it relates to generosity that they just can't do. Mm. It's not that they're stingy, it's that they're strapped. And so why aren't there more messages around freedom and finding freedom and setting yourself up in a better place that way than just constantly saying, hey, give, 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 you know? And again, I know that's, it's well-intentioned, but there, but people, I think, Christians, if they have the Spirit of God in them, that's what a Christian is. They mm-hmm. get this new man. Well, part of who God is that he's incredibly generous. He, God so loved the world that he gave. And when you become a Christian, that heart gets in you. But even if you have the heart of generosity and you're upside down financially, you can't.
Yeah.
So I do. I tell the church, I said, I'm not going to ask you to do something you can't do. I'm going to help you be able to do it. Mm. And so we invite people into a very clear step, structure and small groups and accountability and all these things that help them find freedom. And then in turn, they're incredibly generous after that.
Yeah, yeah. I've said before that instead of telling people to give, let's teach them how. And I asked Howard Dayton about that. I said, how do you manage the tension between the platform and talking about stewardship and then the kneecap to kneecap, eyeball to eyeball? And he said, Chris, it's both. It's not either or, but both are necessary. You know, the inspiration from the platform, the modeling from the platform, and then getting in the trenches, getting your hands dirty, and teaching people how to go all the way down to the basics, budgeting and saving, spending less than you make, those kind of things.
And one of the ways that that can be done as a church, not even just stewardship, but model, you know, our church tithes. We take the first 10% and we give it away to missions. Our church operates with margin. Our church has eliminated all debt. You know, so we're trying to model something that we believe they should do so that they can see it actually right there in front of them.
Mm-hmm. Well, when it comes to this modeling, and this is a little off script, take us into the boardroom of Highlands, and you're in the middle of it. Let's just say you've got this tension. You want to expand. I'm sure you guys, all your campuses are just busting at the seams. You want to expand, but you don't have the cash. You guys could very well justify taking out a little bit of a loan. And I've heard through the grapevine that you frequently say no. Tell us a little bit about those conversations.
We borrowed for the very first project when we were 6.5 years old to get out of the high school. We were 4,500 people still in a setup and take down every Sunday scenario. So when we got our first building, 2,400-seat auditorium, we did borrow for that. We had now, it was a $30 million project. We had $16 million in the bank. We had saved $16 million over that time, so we could do the project without any capital campaign or fundraiser or anything like that, which is what I wanted to do. And we could service the note if the church didn't grow by a person, and we knew it would. In fact, in the next 3 months, our church would actually go from 4,500 to 9,000. So we grew. And then we paid that loan off, and since then have just decided that we would build on that margin. I mean, and we don't have any problem sharing vision and telling people, hey, we can do more. I think, you know, they always tell our church, here's what we are doing, but here's what we could do. There is a vision gap, and there will always be more vision than resource. Mm-hmm. But I'm not gonna let the speed of the church go beyond what the people are able or even willing to do. And so I cast vision. But we, you know, we have 40% margin in our church, so we're able to do, you know, every building project since then with cash, and honestly, it's keeping us plenty busy as far as developing that way. So we really don't get tempted to borrow anymore. We just the tension now with the, in the boardroom is just how far, how fast, and can we do it even better? So our last conversation has been, you know, can we even provide more facilities and more seats for less? And mm-hmm. so we're working with some prototypes right now of actually simpler facilities and mm-hmm. just anything to do more on what we already have.
That is so good. So good. And that kind of mentality attracts some of your bigger givers to your higher capacity folks. They're really attracted to that kind of thing.
Now, you know, it really is true. I call it the no campaign campaign. and that when you just have that kind of stewardship mm-hmm. and you really have full disclosure and they know how you're spending it and they know, you know, the lengths that we go to do things as frugally as possible, and at the same time investing in areas of high return on investment missions, locally, nationally, internationally. I always tell them, if you can find a better place where your investment can be is being leveraged, knock yourself out. But I don't think you're going to be able to. And I show them, we show them the return on the investment toward the kingdom of God, and that I feel like I have that responsibility. Honestly, you know, I'm in some sense I'm a broker of their investment.
Yeah,
and I want to make sure that there is a return on that every single year.
Yeah, one of the best metrics that I've always liked to follow is amount of salvations, or you could do baptisms per dollar spent. And
exactly.
I love that. Now, as a layperson going to church and being involved on the leadership team in an informal capacity, that's one of the metrics that mean a lot to me.
Sure.
We defined stewardship as managing God's blessings, not just money, but managing God's blessings God's way by the scriptures, and for his glory. That's the why. So managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory. And switching gears a little bit, you also are a big part of the ARC, it's obviously majorly successful and planting churches and supporting churches all over the place. Has this stewardship component played any major role in the success of being able to do big things like the ARC?
Well, absolutely. In fact, that's the stewardship side of ARC is, I think, one of the major factors of why ARC succeeds. Because mm-hmm. what we discovered is that a church plant is actually less expensive if you'll heavily capitalize it on the front end. So one of the things that we give church planters is not only great training and resources and friendship, we give them a very large, we help them have a very large launch and help them in two ways. One is for the actual launch day, there's an expense just to have the first Sunday. And then the security of knowing you're going to make it your first year, we're going to help you with your first year's budget. And it just takes the pressure off so they can be more successful. And they always say, what's the catch? And the catch is, if it succeeds, and they do, will you reinvest that same amount into the next generation of church planters?
Mm.
So basically what we're doing is we're reusing the same money over and over, and they end up being very successful very quickly, which helps a lot of things. The whole model of ARC has been based off of a healthy stewardship model.
Now, stewardship and leadership, you know, kind of go hand in hand, how well you lead your team and you see them from a management perspective. God's trusted you to lead them, and obviously you lead a lot of people. You hit on church planters, and we're talking about that, you know, kind of in that vein right now. You guys have a tremendous success rate. I think I've heard through the grapevine, 9 out of 10 succeed.
We're actually currently at 93%, and best we can tell, the national average is somewhere around 40%.
Wow. I've heard of other organizations, too, that are like 9 out of 10 failure rate. So
exactly.
You guys have got this down pat. Now, what from a leadership perspective, what are the key factors that you're seeing that determine a successful church planter and plant?
Well, we have a very, very good process for taking the church planter through training and assessment, mm-hmm. and then the pre-launch phase, making sure that, you know, almost like a subcontractor or a contractor would, if you wanted to build a home, you know, here's your checklist, here's when you order your windows, and here's when you need to get, you know, this done. That's what we do. We come alongside the church planter and basically, like a contractor, you know, help them through the checklist of when things need to be done, you know, and give them the house when it's over. And so that clear process has been a real big factor. And then in the assessment, you know, honestly, and in the training, they have to have the ability to communicate and build teams. And so that's the major role that pastors play. And then back to the culture. If we can infuse inside of them a life-giving breath of fresh air, passion, empowering, just all of these values and culture values that I think bring life to the organization, they're going to make it, because there's a huge need in America for life-giving churches.
Yeah, that is for sure. Now, you've got that going on, the ARC. You've got the GROW. Tell us a little bit about GROW.
Yeah, that honestly came a little bit out of the ARC scenario because pastors of already existing churches were coming to our church planter trainings. I said, well, this is not for you. And they said, yeah, but we want to know how to do it as well.
Gotcha.
And so we started just a training effort for churches to help. The vision was to help 1,000 churches under the 1,000 in attendance break that barrier. Now, that's not a hard, fast rule, but that gave us something to kind of focus on. And now we train, you know, well over 4,000 pastors every year. Mm. And honestly, all those that are learning the skill sets and the systems and the structures and you know all the things that we've talked about so far and many, many other things, they're seeing tremendous growth. I mean, anywhere from 30% annually to 400% annual growth in their churches.
Wow.
And they just really needed someone to come alongside them and help them. They'd never really been trained and cared for. And then we give all of our materials away. I mean, literally everything, if we use it at Highlands, we offer it to anyone who wants it, and it's just an investment we make into churches.
Well, I know you've done that for me personally. You don't know that, but yeah, I've gotten your resources before from your staff, and that's exactly what happened. Very, very generous, very open-handed.
Now we love it. We think that one of the best things that we can do, and I think it's one of our best missions investments, is to invest in local churches mm-hmm. because, you know, there's a lot of need out there on the planet, and what God created to meet that need was His church.
Yeah.
And when you can give to need, and that's fine, or you can give to the institution, the organization that God created to meet that need, and it will continually meet that need until He comes back. And so I think it's the best investment of our time is to build the church.
And so you've got Grow, you've got ARC, you've got the Highlands College. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's a 2-year associate's degree, fully accredited. It's you know SACS accredited college where we train ministry students. We have a little over 700 students that are receiving this you know this academic and ministry degree at the same time being used. In an internship capacity to train them in ministry. And one of my greatest passions for that college is the placement department. We place every graduating student we place in ministry. We have more than 200 churches every week calling, looking for graduates. So it's becoming just a place to get some great worship leaders, children's pastors, production leaders, creative directors, on. And so it's just, I tell you, if Lord said, you got to stop everything you're doing and do one thing, I think this is where I would put my time. I just love investing in young leaders. And it's just something we're very passionate about.
And where did this passion for leadership come from? Where did it start?
You know, I don't know. I think it's a unique calling on me, just something God's put inside of me. But I've always believed that there's two ways to change something. You can do it bottom up or top down. You can go straight to the problem and try to fix it, or you can try to impact the leadership culture that is influencing that situation. And I think you get a quicker and a better return whenever you try to influence the leadership culture in a setting. So if you can go to a poverty-stricken nation of the world, I mean, you can go bring food. It'll get eaten, and they'll be hungry tomorrow. And I think it's something, I'm not saying we shouldn't do it. We absolutely should. But boy, if you could somehow influence the government and the teachers and the police and if there's somehow we could change the leadership culture, the poverty would go away. It would change the nation.
Wow!
And so I'm very involved. I'm on the board of directors of EQIP with John Maxwell, where we're training 6 million Christian leaders around the world right now, and I just love it. I love. Developing leaders. And then, honestly, at the end of the day, that's how I was reached. I'm one of the very, very, very blessed, and I know it's few blessed people that have had great fathers, just that had the best dad ever who loved God and loved me, and the best pastors ever who loved God, loved me, saw my potential, took the time to develop me, I mean, held me by the hand and just walked me through ministry. And so I'm just going to give that to as many other leaders as I can. I want to be that father. You have many instructors, but not many fathers. And so it's just something I love with all my heart.
Well, you truly are a pastor of pastors, and me personally, I just want to tell you personally, I appreciate your ministry, and you have led me from afar for a very long time, and I appreciate your ministry.
Well, that means a lot. Thank you very much.
Highlands College, the Grow Conference, you've got ARC, you've got Church of the Highlands, major initiatives. How is all this possible financially? I mean, all goes back to the margin?
Well, again, this surprises a lot of people about me. I'm really not a strategist. I'm not really thinking about how fast and what's next. I'm more of an opportunist. Mm-hmm. I've always believed that if you'll create a healthy culture and posture the organization in a healthy way, and specifically two areas, have more money than you spend mm-hmm. and have more people than you need. So train more people than you need and create margins financially. God, the Bible says God supplies seed to the sower. He's looking for people to do things with, and I'm just trying to posture ourselves in a place where God says, well, there's a place where they're ready for me. Because when opportunity knocks, it's too late to prepare. I mean, really, when opportunity comes, there's a window of time to seize that opportunity, and a lot of times we're simply not able to because we weren't ready for it. So I'm just trying to posture the organization in that way, and God just brings, you know, the initiatives, and we're just realizing them, that we're just, as they come along, we'll do them. And I tell the church, I don't have any, you know, there's no size goal that I'm trying to achieve. We will grow at the pace of their generosity, and we'll grow at the pace of their involvement as leaders. And so I ask them to serve we call it the Dream Team. That's our group of volunteers, and I ask them to be generous. That we don't have needs, but we do have vision. So we're doing very well, but we will always have more vision than resource. But I'm not trying to break a speed record with it all. We'll go at the pace of those trained leaders and that financial margin.
That is so good. I don't know, you know, those that are listening, I don't know what your capacity is at the church, but that nugget of training more people than you need. We've been a little bit lead pastor focused throughout the podcast so far, and maybe you felt a little bit off the hook, but this training more people than you need should slap some of us in the face a little bit. Because the question we normally ask is, how many people do we need to pull off the task?
And we ask that for finances, too. I always tell our church, never ask God to meet your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Ask God to give you more than you need so you can be a blessing to the world around you. Mm-hmm. I don't need what I need. I need more than I need so that I can be a blessing to the world around me.
That's so good. Now, when it comes to stewardship, you know, just practical suggestions for those listening. When it comes to modeling it, maybe it's a message series that you do, maybe it's conferences, how you staff for it, just your overall focus, what donor development looks like, all that. Just some suggestions that you'd have for our listeners.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely think you should teach biblical stewardship. We really don't have a lot of message series around the topic. And if we do, again, I want to come back to, let me help you find freedom. Mm-hmm. I think people are generous. I think we've got to help them set their lives up in a way where they can be successful. So when we do teach it, we just finished a message series called Life, Money, Hope. And it was really just to help people find freedom. So I'm all for it. I think the place where it gets worked out is in the small group. So I'm a big proponent of having a lot of different curriculums. Financial Peace University is absolutely one of the best, and we use it. In fact, my son right now is leading a small group, helping young 20-somethings get set up in that kind of a way, just start their lives off that way. So we get the curriculums delivered through the small group. I do think when it comes to a great suggestion for stewardship, people want information. So we try to put as much information about where money is going, what the accountability structures are, how salaries are determined. I mean, don't keep people in the dark. People want to know. Give them information, and we make a lot of that available in our membership class and on our website. You do need to have some kind of system to thank people who are generous. We do develop those who have we call it the gift of giving. And our church is called the Legacy Team. These are people who feel called to finance kingdom initiatives. Those are very important, too. And then I think, finally, just make giving easy. As society changes, where pretty much everything is done on a smartphone, and we just have to, you know, as churches, we need to keep up with how things are developing and make it easy for people. So
yeah, make convenience matters for sure.
Absolutely.
Now, I really am having a tough time getting over the fact of the Highlands College, the Grow Conference, the ARC. I mean, you've got these are major initiatives, huge initiatives, and they're not necessarily the normal ones that churches would do. These are big animals that you've tackled. How does Pastor Chris Hodges process the difference between a good opportunity and a great opportunity? Because you've got opportunities coming at you all over the place because you've trained more people than you need. So, you know, you're ready. So opportunities come your way all the time. Probably since we've been on the phone, you've had an opportunity come in your inbox. How do you process the good ones from the great ones?
Well, we stay in our lane. You know, we, as the organization gets larger, we're actually keeping it more and more simple. With the church, we have four focuses that we just keep people on focus with, and that, I think it's really the key. I call it organizational clarity, mm-hmm. knowing what you do, knowing what you don't do. And then honestly, at the end of the day, all three of those, if you think about it, they're just about building local churches.
Yeah.
Because ARC starts new ones, Grow strengthens the existing ones, and Highlands College is keeping, you know, training leaders to serve in them.
Yeah.
And so all of them, for me, are about building local churches, building life-giving local churches, and strengthening existing local churches. And I've just decided to give the rest of my life to that. You know, so as big as it sounds, to me it's very, very, very narrowly focused. And I encourage pastors and leaders and business leaders and whoever, moms and dads, to, if you can clarify your vision, this is what we do. We don't do everything, but we do this one thing well. Man, that's one of the best things. That's one of the greatest gifts you can give the people around you, is that kind of clarity.
Yeah, I mean, that's so good for us to hear, the staying in the lane, because so many churches are being presented with, hey, can you want to merge with us? We're about 120 miles away. We got an old building that's paid for. They're getting that kind of thing. Or come run our summer camp during the summer. And there's obviously it's a win-win scenario, but you got to know the clarity of your vision. So I love
exactly.
that.
Exactly.
I got you on the phone, and so the reason I want to make sure before you get off of here that you just have a chance, an opportunity to just give one final encouragement. Lots of folks that are listening in here would love to have a conversation with you and to be encouraged directly by you. So I want to create an opportunity for you to be able to speak directly into their lives.
So my dad taught me this. He said, Chris, if you want God to entrust you with a lot, be faithful with little. Of course, Jesus said that. Mm-hmm. And so Dad would always tell me, you know, what your closet looks like matters. What the floorboard of your car looks like matters. And if you take care of those things, God will entrust you with big things. And so I was raised, again, by an amazing dad who's now gone on to be with the Lord. But, you know, 1 Corinthians 4, that whoever's been given a trust be proved faithful. Mm-hmm. And I would just encourage people. You know, a lot of people, they want to be entrusted with a lot. You already have something. Steward it well. Take care of it well. If all you have is a beater car, treat it like it was a Ferrari. Man, just take care of it and watch how that gets the attention of both God and people. And the Lord will put you in trust. He'll entrust you with more things. And so I always say a healthy financial culture begins with integrity.
Yeah.
If your personal life was published, you know, would they still want to go to church there? If how you live in that kind of way, because you know, Paul says we take great pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. Mm-hmm. And so that's the one thing that I think about over and over that my dad taught me. And so, you know, I've been tithing my whole life. I've been serving in churches my whole life, long before I was on staff at a church, you know, and trying to take care of. My dad was meticulous with his lawn. Everything was just pristine, perfect. He just had that quality and that spirit of excellence. And so I think it's a big deal. I just think it's a really big deal. So that would be my encouragement.
Yeah, from a third party looking in and analyzing your leadership over the last decade or more, lots of things I appreciate, but integrity, which you mentioned, just the modeling, the transparency, you're a blessing to us all, and we appreciate your time.
Well, it means a lot that you included me on the podcast today.
All right, thank you so much, Pastor Chris.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Wow, that was an incredible conversation, and I found myself taking more and more notes as we went on. Tons of things to take away, but the biggest thing I want you guys to hear is just the integrity in the finances, the integrity and the thoroughness, the intentionality. I love the fact that he's not budgeting projected income, which is really very conservative, especially for a growing church that's growing so fast. But there's just so much integrity and so much margin. You might have heard it before, where there is no margin, there is no ministry. And you heard me say in the conversation that a lot of my big mistakes in ministry have been because I did not have margin. And so that would be my prayer for those of you listening, big churches, small churches, anything in between, for you to build margin into your budget. But hopefully you got a lot out of that. Of course, another big takeaway is how they focus on financial discipleship in this month of January. If your church doesn't have a plan for financial discipleship, we would love to talk with you about how we can help. Right now, Financial Peace University classes are forming all over the country to help give people a plan for their money. Email me at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com or call us at 877-378-2667. Again, that's 877-378-2667, so we can help you improve the life of your church through financial discipleship. Many people are sitting in the seats. They've got great intentions, but being intentioned for ministry is nothing without being positioned for ministry. We also have incredible resources for you to figure out what stewardship looks like in your church at stewardshipcentral.org. Our prayer for you is that you'd have a full-time, paid or non-paid, stewardship minister or stewardship pastor who can own this for you. If you're a lead pastor listening in, you're focused primarily on the weekends, and you need somebody to own this for you and make sure that everybody is positioned for their intentions. Again, hope you enjoyed the Leadership Momentum podcast for the month of January. We've got another incredible conversation coming up in February, so stay tuned. And be sure to share this podcast. It's an incredible resource for pastors and leaders and ministry leaders and even business leaders all over the country. Make sure you share it. And we really appreciate your reviews on iTunes and appreciate you guys helping us grow this podcast. We want to encourage as many people as possible. Well, folks, it has been a pleasure. Until next time, let's continue to lead our churches God's way and for His glory. God bless you.